Gavin Bryars is an English composer whose works include The Sinking of the Titanic and Jesus's Blood Never Failed Me Yet. Bryars is composer in residence at the Happy Days Festival in Enniskillen. It's the International Beckett Festival. It starts this week, and Bryars there will perform the Beckett Songbook, which is Beckett's poetry, which he himself has set to music. Gavin Bryars joins us now from studio in Vancouver. Gavin, your own connection to Samuel Beckett, how far back does it go, and at what point did it become one that you thought might be the source for some music for you?
Oh, two different questions. In terms of how far back it goes, it's when I was a teenager living in a small town in north of England, Goole, not the hub of the universe, but it had a nice public library, and I loved the library, and I spent a lot of time reading, and I found the works of Beckett there, especially Waiting for Godot and the novel Murphy, a very early novel. And I also started reading plays by Brendan Behan, and I found myself attracted to Irish writers. And I'd be about maybe 15, 16 at the time. And then when I was 18, I went to university to Sheffield. And I'd lived all my life in this small town, and I was knocked out by having access to a substantial and comprehensive library. And instead of doing the subjects I should have been studying, I spent the whole of the first term till Christmas just standing by their shelves where they had the complete plays of Beckett, O'Casey, Singh, Wilde, Shaw. I just read Irish plays for 3 months. I must have been mad.
Yeah, we'll come back to where Beckett came to music then in a second. Why do you think that those Irish writers spoke so directly to you?
I don't know. It's one of those dangers. If you analyse things too carefully, you lose it. I just felt an instinctive love of the language. I love the way they use words. I love the kind of freedom. And in Beckett's case, the very oddness of the language I was reading, because at that time, you know, things like Beckett were not so well known as they are now. But I just found there was a kind of strangeness and a kind of something captivating about it. And it was for another world, but one which I sort of recognised and sort of wanted to inhabit.
Okay, coming to the second part of my first question then, and when did you realise, or when did it become clear to you that Beckett's work, you talked about the language there, was it something in the language that made you think it was suitable for music, or what was it?
Well, it's a simple question. I was simply asked to write it, you know, and when a cheque exchanges hands, it focuses the mind wonderfully. But no, Enniskillen asked me to do some songs for the first Happy Days Festival, which is 2 years ago. And I also did a performance of the sinking of the Titanic. Was 2012 was the centenary of the sinking. So we did those two things. I did four Beckett songs then. And Sean Durand, the director, was aware that I enjoyed writing these, probably enjoyed writing these songs more than a lot of things I've done. I said that, you know, okay, he'd commissioned these four for me, but I'd happily add some more for nothing in due course. So I've written three more for this festival. So these are all in English, and there are a group of poems in French, which I will add later. So eventually there will be an 11-part Beckett songbook.
So while the check concentrated the mind in the beginning, it was the enjoyment that really took over to the point where you were prepared to do them for nothing. So there must be something inherent in Beckett's work that makes it musical for or gives it musical potential for you.
Oh, yes. And Beckett himself was a decent musician. I mean, he loved music, but he played the piano very well. His nephew, Edward, who has the literary rights, is a top flute player. He played, still does, I think, with the London Sinfonietta. Music is in the family, and Beckett loved especially Schubert. He loved Debussy, and he played well. And if you're reading the amazing biography of James Neilson, you find lots and lots of times when he'll be involved with music. And it's clear that music forms a lot of his thinking in terms of, you know, rhythmic phrases, in terms of making cadences, in terms of the way words sound.
Your Beckett Songbook, that is one of three concerts that you'll be performing in as part of this festival in Enniskillen. The songbook is dedicated to Jocelyn Herbert. Explain who she was and how she connects you to Beckett.
Jocelyn was an astonishing lady. She was the daughter of A.P. Herbert, the writer, and was a theatre designer. I started working with her in the late 1980s, and she'd known and worked with Sam Beckett from the 1950s. She was married to George Devine, who ran and started the Royal Court Theatre in London. And she was a terrific designer. She did many things. She did opera. She worked a lot with John Dexter. She designed the film Tom Jones. You may remember that with Albert Finney. She was a designer for that film. She's done operas, I say, at the Metropolitan Opera. Worked with people like Tony Richardson. I think he was a filmmaker she worked with. A very high quality designer. Worked a lot in her late years with Tony Harrison. They did some things at the National Theatre, the Trackers of Oxyrhynchus, and she did a lot of work dealing with Greek subjects. She went to Delphi many times. She was an astonishing woman and really, really wonderful person. But someone who was immensely practical. I remember working on a production of Timon of Athens at the Leicester Haymarket studio when it was a tiny production with only 7 actors were allowed, and there was at least 11, maybe 14 parts in the play. So people had to double up, and somehow Jocelyn had to find a way to distinguish who was who, and she had £1,000 budget and she only spent 500, and it worked perfectly, a series of hats and little masks and things, and it was completely clear.
One of the other items or works of yours that will be performed on the evening, you're working with Iarla O'Leonard, the Irish singer, on a piece called An All Day, which translates as The Breath of God. Tell me a little bit about the thinking behind this piece of music and where Iarla's voice fits in, or where did it fit in the composition for you?
Iarla is an astonishing singer. He's one of, I think, the great voices of our time. Iarla and I met, in fact, when we did the first performance of 8 of these so-called Irish madrigals that I wrote, which set John Millington Synge's translations of Petrarch. I did these in Dublin, in Christchurch Cathedral, over 10 years ago. Iarla and I hadn't met, but he was booked to do a half-hour solo set in the cathedral before we played, the place was packed, rather than simply sit backstage, I went to the back of the cathedral to hear him, and I was just ravished by this wonderful singing, he said how excited he was to be involved with this project with me, and asked in public if I maybe might set one of these songs that he was singing. So we became friends. I set this particular lament that he sang, and then we started on this project, which was his idea, to look for texts within what one could call the Irish spiritual tradition. They were chiefly from a book called Lon Anima, which I think means food for the soul. Mm. And An All Day is the breath of God. I think it's from the Book of Wisdom. But they're essentially poems in Old Gaelic from the 8th to the 16th century that I set to music. In fact, an Irish composer friend of mine did say that he's pretty sure that he doesn't know any other English composer who's been set in Gaelic, let alone 8th century.
Well, let's have a listen a little bit to... This is An All Day 2, or I suppose it'd be An All Day Ado. Your own composition, Gavin, Iarla O'Leonard performing. Section there from An All Day by Gavin Bryars, Iarla O'Leonard, the singer. When you're composing a piece in a language as, I presume, strange to you as that early Irish was, Gavin, do you work more in terms of sound, or do you go back looking for the actual meaning of the words as well?
It's a combination. Obviously, I need to know the sound, otherwise I could do something completely stupid, like make some massive climax on the word the. Though I actually enjoy writing in strange languages, for a long time, early in my career, I consciously avoided writing in English because for me, the sound of people, especially tenors, singing in English was coloured by the world of Aldeburgh, Britton and Piers, and I really don't like that world at all. So I always wrote in foreign languages. My first opera, which was about 5 hours long, was a setting of Euripides' Medea in ancient Greek, which I neither read nor understand. So I have a kind of transliteration. The words are read to me. Ila read all the text slowly and at normal speaking pace. So I knew the way in which the rhythm would naturally flow. And I took it from there. And if I made any mistakes or if he wanted to make a suggestion, he would say so and just say, well, maybe you might just join up these two syllables a little bit more. So there's a bit of give and take. But essentially, it was just, I suppose I had a greater freedom if I don't know the precise meaning of the word. It's rather like if I'm writing in English and you have something about a waterfall, odds on you're going to write something cascading downwards. But I would avoid that if I didn't have the precise meanings in front of me.
I want to finish up by listening to, I suppose, what would be one of your most popular pieces, Jesus Blood Never Failed Me. Tell us a little bit about the background to this, because this will be performed in an ensemble version on the evening as well in Enniskillen.
Yes, we're doing four concerts altogether. We're doing the first evening on August the 1st. We have Jesus Blood Never Failed Me Yet with members of my ensemble and two Irish ensembles from Crash and Urodney working together. And then on the second day, I have the Beckett songbook in the morning and then Ila in the evening and these John Millington sing madrigals. But Jesus Blood is probably one of the oldest pieces, apart from the singing of the Titanic, that I've kept in my live catalogue, as it were, the pieces I still perform from my earliest days, which go back way into the last century. I came across it. It features a recording of an old man singing a fragment of religious hymn, a religious song, which over the years I eventually found out he must have, in fact, improvised this. It's not a recognised thing. He made it up himself. Just this little fragment, Jesus Blood Never Failed Me Yet. There's one thing I know, but that he loves me so. I came across this because some friends had been making a film about people living rough in London. This is about 1971. And I was given the tapes that were being, if you like, jettisoned, which weren't being used in the production. And I listened to them. In the middle of all this, I heard this fragment, and I was really touched by many things. There was something in the man's voice, a kind of a dignity, a kind of simple faith and a real kind of sense of humanity. And irrespective of whether one believes, I think you're touched by this fact there's something uplifting about someone in this situation. He was a man probably in his last months, or certainly last year or so of his life, living on the street, saying that Jesus never failed him. Yet, in a way, if ever anyone had been let down in a sense, he had. But he didn't drink. He was just an old man down on his luck. But yet he was constantly upbeat. So I made a kind of a repeated loop out of this 26-second fragment and gradually added instrumentation and so on. And probably the most famous one is one I made about 20 years ago where, towards the end, Tom Waits joins in singing with the old man, and that had a certain kind of cult success.
In fact, that's we're going to listen to part of that now, probably up to that point where we hear the Tom Waits voice coming in. Thank you for speaking to us this evening, Gavin.
Thank you.
Never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. This one thing I know, for he loved me so. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. This one thing I know, for he loved me so. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. Never failed. Never found yet. This one thing I know, only love. Jesus'
your blood never found me yet. Never found me yet. Jesus' blood. Blood never found me yet. Never found me yet. Jesus' blood never found me yet. It's like me on the road, holding down. Jesus' blood.
Jesus' blood never failed me yet. One of the compositions by Gavin Bryars that will be presented at the concerts in Enniskillen as part of the Happy Days Festival. That opening concert feature called Celebrating God will feature that work, Jesus' Blood Never Failed Me Yet. Special performance by the Gavin Bryars Ensemble with guests Hugh Rodney and the Crash Ensemble for the concerts over the weekend, and you can find out full details on happy-days-enniskillen.com.